Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. We begin today's shiur on Kuf Mem Aleph, 4 lines from the top at the Mishnah. The Mishnah will deal with the movement of Muktzah, and it will also introduce a Machbesh, a device that's used for pressing clothing. The Mishnah, Hamkash She'al Gabi Hamita. Kash is straw that's on a bed, and straw is used or designated for fuel purposes. As Rashi says, stamo lahasoka. And as such, it has no Shabbos use, and therefore we would classify it as muksa. So if there is straw on a bed, lo yina'anenu biyodo, one should not move it with his hands, elo mina'aneo begufo, but use his body or his shoulder to move it aside. This is called tiltul min hatzad. It's a shinui, a change in the way you ordinarily would move something. And as such, lo shmei tiltul. It's not considered movement in the prohibited sense. Ve'im hoya maichol behemo. If, however, the straw was on the bed, but the straw was designated as animal food, oh, shohoya olav kar, oh, sadin, or on top of the straw, someone had placed a pillow or a sheet, thereby demonstrating that the straw was to serve as part of the bed. Then, minaneo biodo. Then it's no longer muktza, and he can move it in a normal fashion. Continuing the general topic of moving things, we continue with a machbesh. A machbesh is a press. In fact, Rashi uses a French word which is very similar to the English word press. And he describes it as two long boards between which someone would place clothing, and the upper board would then be lowered onto the clothing in order to create pleats or preserve the desired crease in a garment. Rashi describes it in quite an amount of detail how this device worked. So this machbesh shel balei bakim, if it's a private as opposed to a professional press, if it's shel balei bakim, then matirin avolo koishin. You can undo it. In other words, undo it in order to release the clothing. That would be to, let's say, unscrew the pegs that keep it closed on the side, the pegs that are in the corners of this rectangular board, in order to release the clothing. That's what we call is litzorech Shabbos. For Shabbos purposes, he is removing the clothing, but he cannot lower the upper board onto clothing on Shabbos, because lowering the board onto the clothing has no Shabbos purpose. It's called Lutzorech Choyl. Now, Shel Kovsim, if it's a machbesh of Kovsim, Kovsim are, we can call them today the dry cleaners. It's the professional press used by the Kovsim, by the washman, Lo Yigabo. One should not have any contact with the press. Even if it's to remove the clothing, since it is designed for the benefit of clothing, for lesakein begodim, to improve the clothing, Rashi says that even the undoing it of it will be forbidden, because since the washman close the boards very tightly, the undoing it is like stiros, like the molocha of taking something apart, of knocking a building down, which is called stira. Rabbi Yehuda Omer im hoya mutar me'erav Shabbos, if the boards were unlocked or unscrewed from erev Shabbos, then matir es kulo v'shomto. Then you can undo it completely and then just drop the board aside once you took the clothing out. The Gemara opens with a topic that we have listed on the side. Tiltul min hatzad is a type of movement that's not a direct movement where you take your hand and move something that's muktza, but as we saw in the Mishnah, it's a shinui type of movement. In the case of the Mishnah, we saw someone moving the straw from the bed using his shoulders. So the topic we're dealing with now is tiltul min hatzad. Omar Rav Nachmon, hai pugla. A pugla is a type of vegetation. Some might translate it as a radish. It has a spinning top shape. In other words, it's wide on its top and it tapers narrow to its bottom. Now, this pugla was put in dirt. It was put in dirt for storage purposes, let's say, to keep it cool or keep it fresh. It's not growing right now. It's simply, as we said, put in the dirt for preservation purposes. Can he take this pugla out of the dirt on Shabbos? The pugla, obviously, is something that's mutter. The question is, what about the movement of the dirt? And the dirt being something that's muktza, forbidden for Shabbos use, which naturally results in its being usur to move. So a pugla, mi lemalo lemato, if it's positioned in the ground with its wide part on top and its narrow part facing downwards, shori. Shori means it's allowed. You can take it out of the ground because by doing so, any surrounding dirt will simply, you are not moving the surrounding dirt. It's simply going to fall into place, into the hole that's left after you slip out the pugla. However, mi lamato lamalo, if the wide part of the pugla is facing downwards and the narrow part facing upwards, and you're going to pull it from its bottom, so to speak, usur. Then it will be usur. Why? Because as you are picking it up, there is dirt that has been piled on the alongside this pugla, and the narrow part is subsurface, is underground, so that as you pick up the pugla, you are in effect also raising dirt along with it. And even though you are not moving the dirt directly by hand, you are moving the pugla, and the dirt is coming along with it, that is usur. And why? Because Rav Nachman represents an opinion that tiltul min hatzad, shmei tiltul. Omar Rav Ado bar Abo, Amri bei Rav. Rav Ado says that they say in the yeshiva, Tanina delo k'Rav Nachman. Our Mishnah represents an opinion unlike that of Rav Nachman. Hakasha al gabi hamito lo yinanu biyodo avu menaneu begufo. This is our Mishnah. You can see it's in a frame, and you can compare it to our Mishnah just a few lines above. The straw that's on a bed, and we know the straw is muktzah. You cannot move it by hand, but you're allowed to move it in an unusual fashion, which is called tiltul min hatzad. Menaneu begufo is use your shoulder to budge it. Vim hoya maicho behema o shahoya olav karo sadin menaneu biyodo. If it's animal feed, or it's on a bed with a pillow on top of the straw or a sheet on it, then you can move it directly. Well, what do you see from this Mishnah? And we dashed underlined the main point. Shma mino tiltul min hatzad loy shmei tiltul. That the unusual form of movement is not called movement. It's not that which is prohibited when it comes to the movement of muktzah. Shma mino. This is conclusive. So we have our Mishnah stands in contrast to the opinion of Rav Nachman. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a marking emphasizing the two maimros of Rabbi Yehuda. The topic that we will open up with, we have under our nosei heading, Shinui Bitochen. The act of grinding, which is generally speaking, is a malacha, an Isser Tochen, one of the Ovos malachas. What happens if you do that act in a mishuneh, in an unusual way? So, Omar Rav Yehuda, Hani pilpili are peppercorns, Medak Chado Chado Bekata de Sakino Shori. If you crush one by one with the kata, the handle of a sakin, of a knife, that is okay. Rashi says, Chado Chado Lav Tochinhu Elo Kilachar Yad. It's not grinding, it's rather crushing in an unusual way. Tarti Osir. However, crushing two at a time would be prohibited. Rav Omar, Kevon de Mishani, since you are doing it with the back of a knife, which is unusual, you're not using a grinder nor a crusher. Filu tuvonami, even more peppercorns are allowed to be crushed. In other words, since you're using the handle of a knife, which is not a crushing device, the number of peppercorns that you crush is of no relevance. The Omar Rav Yehuda, man de sochi b'maya, one who is swimming in water, lin giv nafshe b'resha, first he should see to it that there is no water left on his body, v'hoder lislik, and then get out of the body of water that you're in. In other words, you would have to just imagine that he's in some type of pool, and there is a ladder getting out of the pool, so before he climbs over the edge of the pool, he should make sure that he has no water on him. Why? Because if he climbs out of the pool without shaking the water off of him, Dilma Osilasi Arba Amos Bekarmelis, he might end up walking out of the pool into a Carmelis. Carmelis is a rabbinic domain in which it is also for one to carry things more than 4 amos, he in effect would be carrying the water that's on him for a distance of more than 4 amos. So we want to make sure that before he leaves the ladder, leaving the pool, he should shake off any water that's on him. The Gemara asks, Ihochi ki konochis nami, if that be the case, then when he is going down into the water, Kodochi Kocho Arba Amos Vaosir, is he not causing movement as his body enters the pool? Is he not causing the water to move 4 amos? So that by his mere body entrance, which is his body force, he is pushing water aside 4 amos. So the Gemara says, Kocho Bekarmelis Lo Gozru. This concept of Kocho, as we say, it's your body force, the force that you generate, as opposed to direct movement. The force that you generate is not something that the Rabbanon made a restrictive ruling against that. So that when you're dealing with the Carmelis, it's a non-public, open area, making it a rabbinic area, there's a prohibition of direct carrying of something. However, the movement of an item, or of, in this case, of the water, by your body force, is not something that was prohibited. As we continue in the Gemara, you might notice some numbers appearing above names. On the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei heading, we will be seeing Arba Deos Bekinuach Tit Me'al Gabi Raglo. 4 opinions regarding the cleaning off of mud that got stuck to one's foot or one's shoe. 1. Bekarka, 2. Bekoisel. The issues, or the means of cleaning off the shoe, either by rubbing it on the ground or on a wall. Omar Abaye, Vitemo Rav Yehuda. Tit Sh'al Gabi Raglo, mud that's stuck to one's foot, mekancho bekarka ve'ein mekancho bekoisel. You can wipe it off on the ground, but not on a wall. Omar Rava, my time of bekoisel loy. Why not on a wall? Mishum demersi keboine. It's because it appears as if you're building something. Yeah, but hob binyan chaklohu. That's a very temporary type building. In other words, it has no significance to it. Elo Omar Rava. Mekancho bekoisel v'ein mekancho bekarka. Rava says just the opposite. He says you should wipe off the foot on the wall, but not on the ground. Dilma osila shvuye gumos, by rubbing a shoe with mud on the ground, so you might end up smoothing out holes in the ground. That's ashvi gumos, and that is usur. However, as Rava pointed out, rubbing the muddy shoe on the wall, just packing some mud on a wall in this fashion is of no real significance. Therefore, it's allowed. Itmar, mor brei d'ravino, omar, echo ze ve'echad ze osur, whether it's on the ground or on a wall is forbidden. And Rav Papa, omar, echo ze ve'echad ze muter. Rav Papa rules the extreme opposite, that both are okay. The Rashi says, echo ze ve'echad ze osur, ze mishum boina, the rubbing on the wall would be a problem of bone, of building, and v'zeh mishum ashvi gumos, the on the ground is the problem of smoothing out holes. The opinion that Rav Papa expressed, that both are mutter, is it's based on Shitas Rabbi Shimon, that he has no kavona. It's called a dovar she'eno miskavin. His interest is in wiping off his foot. And his interest is not in building, nor is his interest in smoothing out holes. So Rav Papa feels that you can be mekil on both cases. The Gemara continues, Lamor Brei Dravina, he was the third opinion. B'mai Mekan Chile, Mor Brei Dravina forbade both methods of cleaning. So how do you clean off mud from your foot? Answer, Mekanchi Le Bekoira. You would rub your foot on a piece of wood lying on the ground. On a bakura is a board, a plank that's on the ground. As we continue in the Gemara, we see triangles around Rava's name, and on the side under our Mivne heading, these are Gimel Halachas Shel Rava, three laws taught by Rava, Sheoser Pu'ulos, where he forbids certain actions, Dilma Asilidei Dover Yoyser Chomor, because you might come to do something more severe. So the Gemara says, Omar Rava, lo leisiv inish apume de lachaya. A person should not sit at the entrance of a mavui. At the entrance of a mavui is an alleyway, lined on three sides by yards and by houses, and the fourth side opens to a public thoroughfare. Rava instructs a person, don't sit by the entrance to this alleyway near the lechaya. Lechaya are the upright pole, the lechi that's placed at the entrance of a mavui in order to allow carrying within the mavui. So once again, lo lesiv inish, a person should not sit apume at the entrance de lechaya, where the poles are, which for our purposes means at the entrance to the mavui. Dilmo megandura lechef, that's a person sitting right at the entrance. The fear is that a chefetz is an item, an article, might megandaros, to roll away from him into the street, the osi lasuye, and he'll come to carry it from the street, which is a rishus harabim, back into the mavui, which is a rishus hayachid. And that's an iser of hachnosa on Shabbos, a forbidden action. So don't invite trouble by sitting right there at the entrance of the mavui while holding articles. V'omar Rava, lo litzdad inish kuva ba'ara, a person should not position a barrel on the floor, on a dirt floor, he might come to smoothing out holes in the floor. V'yomar Ravo, lo lahadik inish udra bepuma deshisha. A person should not stuff. Udra is soft material. Bepuma, the mouth of a deshisha is of a flask. One should not stuff soft material into the mouth of a flask. Dilma, and the flask holds liquids. Dilma osi lidei schita. You might come to wringing it out. And wringing out the cloth would be a Shabbos prohibition called schita. Omar Rav Kahana, titsha al gabi bigdo, mud that gets on one's clothing. On the side, we have as our topic heading the nosei nikui bigdo mitit, the cleaning of one's clothing from mud. So Rav Kahana says that if mud is on one's clothing, mekaskesoi mibefnim vein mekaskesoi mibachutz. Mekaskeso is to rub it. Mibefnim means from the inside of the garment. Rashi says, Mibefnim, deloi mukhu milso leishazuye kimalabein. It's not so obvious that you're trying to clean or whiten the clothing. Umalabe mamish lohavi, de ain nosing shomayim. As far as actual malabein, which is one of the obvious malachos, which has to do with washing of clothing, there is no actual malabein here because there's no use of water. In the absence of water, so you don't get involved with the actual Torah level prohibition. So Rav Kahana says that you rub the clothing from the inside in order to get the mud off that's stuck on the outside, but not to rub the clothing, like to scratch off the mud directly. That's ein mekaseso mibachutz. Meisvei. We have a Tanaic source that counters Rav Kahana. Titch al gabi min oloi, mud on one's shoe, megaro begav sakin, you can scrape it off with the back of a knife, ve sha'al bigdo, megaro betziporin, and what's on his clothing he can scrape off with his fingernail, ubilvad shelo yiskases, but there should be no rubbing action. My lav shelo yikaskes klal. There should be no rubbing action, not even from within, not even mibifnim. That would be a challenge to Rav Kahana. Lo, the Gemara says not so. Rather, shelo yikaskes mibachutz elo mibifnim. This source that says uvashli yikaskes, the intent is he shouldn't do the rubbing from the outside. In other words, to rub the article of clothing on the same side as the mud, rubbing it together, but rather from within. Omar Rabbi Avo, Omar Rabbi Lozer, Omar Vianai, Megarin Mino Chodosh Avolo Yoshan. One may scrape off mud from a new shoe, but not from an old shoe. The Rashi explains, Shekolfo v'have memachik. There is a fear that you will be peeling some of the surface off, and that is an isur of memachik, which is one of the avos molachos. The Gemara asks at the top of Omid Beis, Bima megaro. How should he scrape off the new shoe? Omar Rabbi Avo, begav sakin, using the handle or the back of a knife. Omar le hahu sabo, elderly gentleman, some scholar, says to Rabbi Avo, sami vidoch mekami hodetoni Rabbi Chiyo, you should erase or remove your teaching in the face of that which Rabbi Chiyo teaches in the following source. Ein megarin loy min ol chodosh v'lo min ol yoshan. We've dashed, underlined this to show that this is the main point of bringing in this source. This is the point at which Rav Abri Avo's teaching is countered. This source says you're not allowed to scrape off a shoe, even if it's new, and certainly not an old one. Other halachas that are related to shoes and feet, v'lo yosuch es raglo shemen, v'besocha mino, one should not apply oil to his foot while it is in a shoe. Rashi explains this is like me'abed, it's part of a tanning process. O besocha sandal, whether the foot is in a minol is a closed shoe, a sandal is an open shoe, so that one should not pour oil on his feet while they are inside his foot gear. Avol soch es raglo shemen, a person can smear his foot with oil, and then umenich besocha minol besocha sandal, and then after he oiled his foot, he can then insert his foot into a shoe or sandal. V'soch kol gufo shemen, a person can rub his body with oil. U'mis'agel al gabi katavlayo, and then roll on a katavlayo. Katav is a sheet of leather. V'eino choshesh, and he doesn't have to worry about an isur of ma'abed, of tanning. Omar Rav Chista, you'll notice that we have a one above this, because there is a second lashon a few lines later, which you can see is featured with a number two. So Omar Rav Chista, lo shonu elo letzachsecho, avo la'abdo osur. The halacha concerning putting oil on one's foot, we said it's mutter to put oil on one's foot and then put it in a shoe. That's okay if his kavona, if his intent is to shine the shoe. But avol la'abdo osur, if his intent is to tan it, then even that would be osur. It would be osur to put the oil on one's foot when his intention is to then put the foot into the shoe for tanning purposes. The Gemara asks, "La'abdo pshita?" That's obvious. It's one of the ovos malachas. You're not allowed to tan leather on Shabbos. So I don't need Rav Chista to tell me that la'abdo is osur. The su, and furthermore, letzachsecho mikoman deshori, even the intent to have the shoe shine. Does anyone allow that? The feeling is that no one would allow letzachsecho, because one would say don't put your foot in with oil letzachsecho, because you might come to le'abdo. Elo, I itmar ochi itmar. If Rav Chista said anything, he must have said it thusly. Omar Rav Chista, lo shonu elo shi'ur letzachsecho. The amount, it's an issue of amounts of oil, but no intent to shine the shoe. Simply, one is allowed to put on his foot a small amount of oil, an amount that would be sufficient for shining the shoe. But we emphasize, he is not going to have an intent to shine the shoe. All that Rav Chista meant when he said letzachsecho, it's just to define a quantity of oil that one is allowed to put on his foot. But a quantity that would be effective in tanning it, that would be osur to put on one's foot, even though we're talking about a case where the foot is not in the shoe. He's going to be putting his foot into a shoe. Tonu Rabbanan. Lo yetze cotton b'mino godol. The word cotton here is appears in a somewhat unusual form. In other words, it's not talking about age, it's talking about a person of small body dimensions. To make things simpler, he has a small foot. A person with a small foot should not go out wearing a large shoe. That's lo yetze cotton b'min al godol, avol yetze hu b'chol godol. The person of small body dimensions can wear a large shirt, a large robe. The difference is that in the case of an oversized shoe, there's a fear it will simply fall off as he's walking, and you'll end up picking it up and carrying it in the Rishus HaRabim. The same fear does not apply to an oversized shirt. V'lo teitzei isha b'mino merupot, a woman should not go into the street with a torn shoe. The fear being that if people notice it and laugh at her, she will take it off and carry it. Velo sachlots bo, a mino merupot, a torn shoe should not be used for the chalitza ceremony, which is the ceremony whereby the Yavama removes the shoe from her surviving brother-in-law. So the chalitza should not be done using a torn shoe. The im cholza, chalitza sakshir, if she does use the mino merupot, so the chalitza is effective so that she can marry at this point anyone she wants. The ein yoytzin b'mino chodosh, and one is not allowed to leave his home with wearing a brand new shoe. Be'ezu mino amru, when you say there's a prohibition of going out with a brand new shoe, notice we're talking about the first wearing, and that is true, but minol shel isha, with a woman's shoe. Rashi explains that women are more sensitive to a well-fitting shoe, and a new shoe hasn't absorbed the form yet of the owner's foot, and there is a fear that she will be uncomfortable with this brand new shoe that she never wore before, and she'll end up taking it off her foot and carrying it. Tony Bar Kapora, lo shano el shloyotze bo shachas mi bel yom. This restriction with regard to the woman's shoe is true only if she didn't wear it an hour before the onset of Shabbos. Avol yotze bo merv Shabbos muter. However, if she wore it, even if it's for a relatively small amount of time, but she wore it on Friday, so that's enough to impart a sense of comfort to the woman with regard to her new shoe. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a new Nosei Mivneh heading, and we've noted with the use of a diamond, Shnei Brisos Asosros, two contradictory brisos, besiluk naal me'al imus b'shabbos, regarding the removal of a shoe from its imus. An imus, you'll notice Rashi uses a French word, but very similar to an English word, form. It might be, in English you might refer to this as a mold. Shoes were made on a mold, so that pieces of leather were sewn together with a sole while the shoe that's being made is being made around this mold. Tony Chada, Shontin Minol Me'al Gabi Imus. One source says that you can remove a shoe from on top of its mold. V'tanya Idoch Ein Shontin. Another source says you cannot remove it. So you have two contradictory sources. Lo Kasha, Ha Rabbi Eliezer, Ha Rabbanan. These two sources simply represent two different Tanaic opinions. Disnan. Now, we're going to quote a Tanaic source that is from Maseches Kelim. The Masechta deals with the definition of vessels as being vessels and the point at which they are Mekabel Tumah. By rule of thumb, something that's incomplete is not subject to absorbing Tumah. So we have a source in which Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim appear, and their controversy here in Maseches Kelim will be the resolution of the two sources we just had, featured with the diamonds. Disnan minol shel algi algabi imus, a shoe that's on a mold. Rabbi Eliezer mitaher. Rabbi Eliezer says it will not mekabel tuma. Now, something that's not mekabel tuma is evidence that it is not a kli. If it's not a kli, if it's not a vessel, then on Shabbos it would be usur to move it. According to this approach, the prohibition is a prohibition that focuses on the shoe itself, that the shoe itself hasn't gained vessel status, kli status. The Chachomim mitamim. The Chachomim say that the shoe on its mold is a vessel and is mekabel tuma, and therefore it can be moved. The Gemara proceeds to analyze matters based on opinions, the opinions of Abai and Rava, that we have learned many a number of dapim ago. There was a machlokes, Abaye and Rava, when it comes to a klishim lachto liisur, under what circumstances are you allowed to move things. So our Gemara continues, ha nicha le Rava, what we have said will work out well according to Rava, the Omar, who had said, dover shem lachto liisur, bein litzorach gufo, bein litzorach mekomo, mutter. Shapir. Shapir means things will work out. Let's glance at Rashi. Ho nicho l'rova d'yomar v'perek kol hakilim, in perek kol hakim, an earlier perek that we've learned already. Dover shem lachto liisur, something who's designed for a prohibited activity. Bein shu tzorach l'shtamish begufo shokli, bein she'eno tzorach elo l'mekomo. Whether you need the vessel itself, just imagine a hammer. A hammer is something that's a klishon lachto iser because it is used for meleches bone, for building. Rava says, whether I need the hammer for legufo, means I need the hammer for itself. Let's say I want to crack nuts with it, which is a mutter, an allowed Shabbos activity. And what, or I need the place that the hammer is occupying. That's bein she'eno tzorach elo l'mekomo. Let's say I have a hammer sitting on my eating table, and I want to put a plate down, and the hammer is in the way. So you can move the hammer l'tzorach mekomo, because you need the spot that it occupied. Muter l'taltalo. Me'achar shetoras kli olov. Shitas Rava is, once again, a kli shem lachto l'iser, whether it's tzorach gufo or tzorach mekomo, you're allowed to move that vessel. Shapir, iko l'ukmi, leho detoni shomtin kirabonan. The source that says you can remove the shoe, we can set that up like the Rabbonon, the Kevon de Klihu, since the shoe, as the Rabbonon said, is Mekabel Tuma, so that indicates to us that it is a vessel. The Imus Nami Klihu, the mold is also a vessel. The Afagav, the Malachta, the Imus Leiser, the Sakin Rol, Minol, and even though the role of the Imus is a non-Shabbos activity, it's designed for the making of shoes. Metatlin Lahai Imus, you can move the Imus, Mishum Tzorech Mekomo. The Imus is a Kli Shem Lachto L'Iser, and I need its spot, I need its place. What does that mean, the place of the Imus? Dainu Minol, the shoe. Sho'imus nosun lesocho. The imus is inside the shoe. So I need the spot that the imus was occupying, namely, I need the interior of the shoe. So I'm allowed to remove the imus. So the source that says shomtin mino me'al gabi imus will be fine. Conform to the Shitas Chachomim as Rava sees things, that a kli shem lachto liisur l'tzorach mekomo, you're allowed to move. Elo, the Gemara continues, Elo l'Abaye, domar l'tzorach gufo mutu l'tzorach mekomo osur, but according to Abaye that says a kli shem lachto liisur is allowed to be moved only l'tzorach gufo, where you need the vessel itself. But l'tzorch mekomo is osur, ma'iko l'meimar. How are we going to explain the source that says shomtin mino me'al gabi imus? After all, if I am going to remove the imus based on the grounds that I need the spot that it occupied, but that's called tzorch mekomo, and a kli shem lachto l'iser you cannot move l'tzorcha makomo. So the Gemara answers, hacha b'may askinon b'rofui. Here we're talking about a very loose fit. The Tanya, Rabbi Omer im hoya rofui muter. Let's take a look at the Rashi. We'll start with Rashi, elo la'abaye. Nihi nami de minol sha'al ha'imus l'rabbonan kliu. Granted that the shoe on the mold is a vessel, imus miha malachto le'isirhu, the mold itself is a vessel whose role is prohibited on Shabbos. V'zeh she'shomet mimenu es ha'minol, and he who is removing from the mold the shoe, eino tzorach legufo shel imus, he doesn't need the imus itself, he needs the spot that it occupied, which is the shoe. V'hechi metaltele, how can he move the imus? The Gemara answered, "Berofui shahaminol nishmat me'elov, ve'in tzorch letatel ho'imus." By picking up the shoe, the shoe slips off the imus by itself, without any need to actually move the imus, and that's all a result of the loose positioning, the loose fit of the shoe on the mold. The Gemara now continues with a question. Taimo de Rofui. The heter is because of it being a loose fit. Ha lo Rofui. If the shoe was tightly fit onto the mold, then lo. Then it would not be allowed. Ha nicho l'abaye. Now this analysis, it will work out well according to Abaye, because we're now inferring from the Rebbe Yehuda source that if it's a tight fit, then you would not be allowed to remove the shoe from the mold. Well, that would make sense according to Abaye. De Omar, Dover Shemlachdu Le'isu L'tzorch Gufo Mutu L'tzorch Mekomo Osir Shapir, then things will make sense. Abaye said that a Kli Shemlachdu Le'isu, which is represented here by the mold, if all you are interested in is the place that the mold occupies, which means the shoe, then you cannot move it. So the inference here of lo, that which we dashed underline, is understandable. Abai says if it's a tight fit, so then the removal of the imus would be because you need that which the spot it occupies, namely the shoe, but that's litzorch makomo and that's forbidden. Elo la rova diomar bein litzorch gufo bein litzorch makomo muter. But according to Rava, that even if all you need is the makomo, I need the spot that the imus occupies, namely I need the shoe, it would be okay. So my iria rofui, why does the heter that Rabbi Yehuda mentioned, why is the heter that he gives you is only if it's loose? Afilu lo rofui nami, even if it wasn't loose, Even if you would have to move the imus in order to get the shoe off of it, according to Rava, that's okay because this is the movement of the imus, which is a klishim lachto le iser le tzorach mekomo. So why does Rabbi Yehuda feature only if it's a loose attachment to the mold? Is there a heter to remove the shoe? The Gemara says, "Hahi de Rabbi Yehuda mishum Rabbi Eliezer hu." That restriction, that if it's not roughly it would be osir, that is a teaching according to Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, that holds that as long as the shoe is on the imus, so the shoe is not a vessel. And therefore, if it's a loose fit, so then it does have a vessel status. And we try to emphasize the main point that if it's not a loose fit, so it's a shoe on a mold, it's not a complete vessel. And as long as it's not a complete vessel, so then there is an iser of movement of it. Rashi, let's take a look at Rashi, where you notice there's a dashed underlining in the Rashi, couple lines down from here. At the beginning of the line, he says, "Aliba de Rebbe Lezer, Omar, that Rabbi Yehuda said his teaching in the name of Rabbi Lezer, the Omar Minol Sha'alimus Lav Gmar Klihu calls Manshim Luchusu Hitzah, that as long as the shoe hasn't been removed from the mold, it's not a vessel. Ulim Shabbos Nam Yosu Tatalo, and regarding Shabbos, it's also prohibited to move the shoe. Mishum De Lav Klihu, the shoe is not a vessel. The Ashmina De Rofui Lav Muchusu Hitzahu, and the Gemara here is telling us, Rabbi Yehuda is telling us, that if it's loose, then it's not considered as if it hasn't been removed yet. It's considered in your mind's eye as if it's been removed. Umutur l'tatalo, and therefore it's mutter to move it. The ilu l'rabbonon af algav de'ein rofui mutter. According to the Rabbanon, even if it's not a tight, even if it's loose, even if it's not loose, it's mutter. The taimo, the she'ein rofui also the Rabbi Yehuda, the prohibition of the tight fit, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is lav mishum imus. It's not because of the mold. Elo mishum mino gufei. The problem is with the shoe. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Lezer, the shoe is not a vessel as long as it is still tight fitting. So that will be Rabbi Lezer's opinion. According to the Rabbonon, though, even if it is a tight fit, it still is a kli, even though it's on the imus. We continue now with a new perek. This is the perek hanotel, perek 21 of Maseches Shabbos. The perek continues with inyonim dealing with tiltol. Notel odom es benoi voeven biodo. A person can carry his son in a courtyard, even though the child is holding a stone, and we don't say that the father is moving the stone. The kalkola v'evin besocha, and a person can move a basket with a stone in it. There's much more to see on this topic in the Gemara, but Rashi already. Let's retract that. We will just stay tuned for the Gemara to explain how in the world this is allowed. Umetatalin truma tameo im hatora v'machulin. A person can move truma tameo, which is truma that really has no purpose, it needs to be burnt, but it's being moved together with truma tahora and chulin being common food. Truma is a tithe that one removes from his produce to give to a kohen, but if it's tameo, so the kohen cannot eat it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af malin es hameduma be'echad umea. Let's take a look at Rashi on this point. Afmal sebeduma saw truma. A saw is a measure, a certain type of measure, a measure of truma. It's a certain quantity. Shenoflo lemeir shulchulin, that fell into 100 saw of chulin. The one part truma that falls into 100 parts chulin. The kaimalon deilam, we hold that it becomes void. It's botel. Muter lahaloso lesaw truma mehen b'shabbes. A person in that case can pick up one saw from the mixture, and the saw that he picks up will be viewed as truma. V'yu hachulin mutarin, and that which remains after he removed the one saw will all be mutar, because prior to that it's considered a truma chulin mixture, which is meduma, which is usur. Yisrael cannot benefit from it, and by removing this one saw, so the chulin will be mutar. And here's the big chiddush: v'lo aminon nesakein hu. And we don't say that this is an act of fixing, an act of tikkun. And this too will have to be explained by the Gemara. And the reason for this is that in general we say that, for example, tithing something, if you have tevel, untithed produce, you're not allowed to tithe it on Shabbos. Very much because of this problem of its mesaking. So why in this case is it allowed to have the one saw removed when it fell into 100 parts chulin? That the Gemara will have to explain. The Gemara. Omar Rava. Hotzi, Tinok chai v'kis toli b'tzavaro. The person carries from a private domain into a public domain a child, a living child, with a pouch suspended around its neck. Chayov mishum kis. He is guilty of meleches haitzah because of the carrying of the pouch. Bearing in mind he carried the pouch, not directly, but it was worn around the neck of the child that he carried. Tinok meis v'kis tolil b'tzavaro. If a person carried a dead infant with a kiss suspended around its neck, and he carried that into the Rishus HaRabim, potter, he will be exempt. He won't be considered in violation of a Torah-level Shabbos prohibition. The Gemara goes over this. Tinok chai v'kis tolil b'tzavaro. Chayav mishum kis. So the Gemara has a couple of questions, and we've noted the questions with a double underline. And this is number one: v'lechayev nami mishum tinok. Why does Rava say that when carrying the living child with the pouch surrounded around his neck, he's guilty because of the pouch? Why not also because of the child? Because he carried the child. Rava k'Rabbi Yosson svirle. Rava exempts the carrying of the child based on Rabbi Nosson's teaching. The Omar Chai Nosei Es Atzmoi. Rav Nosson, and we've seen this in the past, he holds that a person that's alive assists by positioning himself in its own carrying. Therefore, the person that carries him is not doing the malacha in we'll say in entirety, and therefore he is innocent. That's again regarding the child itself. The Gemara asks, "V'livtil kis legabi tinok." Why does Rava say he's chayav for the kiss? Why not say that the pouch is subsidiary to the tinok, and that would make him exempt also with regard to the kiss? Milo tnan. Do we not have the following teaching that says, "Es achai b'mita poter afal amita"? If a person carries a bed with a living person on it out from a house to the street, he's exempt even with regard to the bed. Shamito tfelelo, the bed is subsidiary to the person. And as far as carrying the person, so for that we say chai noisei es atzmoi. The Gemara answers, mita legabi chai mevatilei, the bed relative to the person on it. So we say the bed is botel, Tim. It becomes voided to the person. It's of such a subsidiary nature. Kis legabi tinok lo mevatli le. However, a pouch that's around the neck of the child, so we don't mevatel the pouch to the infant or to the child. Tinok. We should point out, is the second case that we had above, and that's why we have a little bays above this in parentheses. Tinok meis v'kis toli lo b'tzaro poter. A person carries a dead child with a pouch around its neck, so he is totally exempt. The lechayev mishum tinok. Here you don't have the heter of chai nosei atzmo because he's dead. Chai means a live person, but here, why is he not chayev for having carried out the dead child from a private to public domain? Come on, answers Rava k'Rabbi Shimon Svirolei. Rava is of the same thought or the same school as Rabbi Shimon. D'amar kol melacha shein tzricha legufo poter olei. A malacha that one does on Shabbos for a purpose other than that which it was designed for in the Mishkan, he will be exempt. Now, meleches haitzah, its designed purpose is to get a particular item to its destination. In this case, with carrying the dead child from in to outside the house, his purpose is not to get the child outside. His purpose is to clear the house from having the child in it. So that because his intent here is not the design purpose of Eitzah, namely getting the item to its destination. That's not his interest here, getting the child to its destination. His interest here is regarding the origin, getting the child out of the house. And that's the reason for the exemption that is found here in Tinok Meis V'kis Toli Lo B'Tzavaro. Tnan Noitel Odom Es Benoi V'Even B'Yodoi. Our Mishnah says a person can pick up his son while the son is holding a stone. If we use our arrows, compare this, the dashed underline of Evan Biodo, to that which is dashed underline above, where we had a child, a live child, with a kiss, pouch surrounded around its neck. Rava said he's chayev because of the kiss. Well, why should he be chayev because of the kiss? We see here in the Mishnah that our Mishnah says that you can carry the child even though he has a stone. So he's holding the stone. The child's holding the stone. Why is that any different than the case of the kiss around the neck of the living child? Rava there was machmir, and the Mishnah seems to be mekil. The Gemara answers: Amri debei Rabbi Yanai, betinok sheyesh lo gaguin al oviv. The Mishnah that's mekil is because we're dealing with a child that is very longing for his father. So much so that if the father doesn't pick up the child, the kid is going to get sick. And therefore, as Rashi says, the iser of tiltal, shelo biyodayim, here we're dealing with a sort of indirect type of movement vis-a-vis the father. So tiltal, shelo biyodayim, when there is an element of danger involved, the Chachamim did not impose any tiltal restrictions. Rashi points out, when we say danger, we're not talking about actual life-threatening danger, but any kind of danger, any health affecting matter, Rabbonim will be mekil. So that's why in the Mishnah we say noitel odom es benovo even biyodo. But in the case, in any other case, like Rova's case of the child with the pouch around its neck, the person will be chayav because of the kiss. The Gemara asks, "E hochi." We continue at the top of Kuf Mem Beis Omer Aleph. My Irie Even. Our Mishnah, if we're talking about a case of a kid that's severely longing for his father, so why does the Mishnah feature the case of the infant or the child holding a stone? Afilu dinor nami. Even if the child were holding a coin, if it's an issue of health, so the father should be allowed to pick him up. Aloma marova. So why is it that Rava himself says lo shanu elo even? The heter of the Mishnah is only if the child is holding a stone. Aval dinor, also if he were holding a coin, it would be forbidden. The Gemara answers, even inofla la lo osi avua lesuye. With regard to the stone, if the child should have to drop the stone, the father isn't going to come to pick up the stone. And therefore, we can be mekil. We can be lenient. Dinar, however, e nofil, if the coin falls out of the hand of the child, osi avua lesuye, the father will come to carry it. Then we say you cannot pick up the child, even though there might be an element of choili involved, sakona of getting sick, we still are not mekil. Rashi at the top, osila suyevitaimo lav mishum tiltulhu, the issue is not a tiltul issue, dafilu leochso biyodo vatino mahalech baraglov, even if it were a matter of holding the child by its hand, osar le rava. Rava would not allow walking with a child, holding the child. That is holding a coin, Dilma Nofil Vasuye, since it might fall and he'll come to carry it. The Kevon de Lav Sakonas Nefeshu, Lo Shoru Be Tiltol. Since we're not dealing with a life threatening issue, the Rabbanon are not lenient. The Gemara continues, Tanya Kavosei de Rava, we have a Tanaic source supporting Rava. And Rashi says, "Dechi noket lo elyoin," that when the upper one, the one you're holding a person, and when he is holding something, "Kaman da afka tachton gufei domi umichayev." It's as if you, the one, the lower person, is holding the item itself and carrying it out, and that is a reflection of Rava's teaching. Rava said, if you carry a living child out to a public domain while the child has the pouch suspended around its neck, so you who are carrying the child are chayav because of the kis. Tanya kavosi the Rava, the source says, Hamotzi kelov mikupolen umunochim al ksefo. The person carries out clothing that are folded up and sitting on his shoulder. The sandalov v'tavosov biyodo, and his shoes and his rings are clenched within his hand. Chayav, he would be guilty. He's carrying articles out to a public domain. V'im hoya melubosh bohen poter. If a person, however, is wearing his clothing, and his shoes and his rings, then there's no Shabbos violation. Hamotzi odom v'kelov olov. The sandolov baraglov, the taboisov biyodov potter. If a person carries another individual who is wearing his clothing and his shoes and his rings on his fingers, so the person, the carrier, is exempt. Now we infer though from this, ve'ilu hotzion kamos shehen. If however the person that was being carried wasn't wearing his clothing, but the clothing were folded on his shoulder, or he was clenching them clenching his rings in his hand. So then, chayov, the person who is carrying, will be guilty. And he's not guilty because he's carrying a person, but he's guilty for the clothing that the upper individual is not wearing, but positioned on his shoulders, or the rings that the upper person has clenched in his hand. So, as we said before, this Tanaic source and the inference, but particularly the inference from it, supports Rava, that you are chayav for, you the carrier, chayav for items being held by the upper individual. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.